Direct us now, gracious Lord, to hear aright your holy word. Assist your minister to preach and let the Holy Spirit teach. And let eternal life be found by all who hear the gospel sound. Amen. In 2009, a man in Oakland, California named Dan Stevenson had had it. There was a vacant lot across from his house, and people were dumping their bags of garbage on that vacant lot, mattresses, drug needles. He had gone to the city and complained and hoped that something could be done about this vacant lot, but nothing was done. And finally, he and his wife, Lou, went over to that vacant lot. They cleaned it up, and even though they were not very religious, they secured a statue of Buddha and put it in the vacant lot. And then they sat back and watched what happened. No bags of trash. No mattresses, no drug needles. In fact, an apple was placed by the Buddha, and then an orange. These were offerings given to a fake god in a vacant lot. And eventually, somebody actually went and built a shelter for this Buddha over it. And it looks really nice. You can Google Oakland Buddha, and you'll see this beautiful shelter that they built over this idol. And it all started because Dan Stevenson had had it. Of course, you can imagine this would get some attention. The newspaper interviewed Dan Stevenson and they said, why did you, even though you're not religious, why did you put a statue of Buddha in the vacant lot? And Dan Stevenson said, I thought Christ could have pulled it off, except Christ is so controversial with people. Buddha is a neutral dude. When even Ace Hardware is carrying Buddha, you know it's pretty neutral. Christians are often blamed for all the divisions within Christianity. And while every case of division within Christianity in the visible church has a story, and some of those stories of that divisions are legitimate, the truth of the matter is that Jesus says, there's a greater truth, Jesus says there is going to be division and it's going to be caused by me. Why would the Prince of Peace cause divisions? The very simple answer, because if you do not believe in Jesus as your only and complete Savior from sin, the only source of your salvation, there's going to be divisions from those who think it's Jesus plus something else or something else entirely. You think in Jesus when he speaks in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That would be the most, unifying passage. But Jesus wasn't finished speaking in verse 16. He also said this in verses 17 and 18. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Sounds good so far. And then, here we go. The one who believes in him is not condemned. But the one who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the one who brings division. Either you believe in Jesus as your only and complete Savior, or you don't. Either you are on his team completely, or you aren't. That's why Jesus said, do you think I come to bring peace on the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. But if you think about it, there was division before Jesus came on this earth. Before Jesus said those words in John chapter 3, verse 16, there was a division not between family members so much as it was a division between all of humanity and God. And that was brought about by the sin of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they rebelled against God and they made an enemy of God and they were on Satan's team. Satan had picked them. They were on his team. They ran away from God. They didn't go to him. But God in that garden, he made a promise, didn't he? I will put enmity. I will make an enemy again of you and Satan. I'm going to bring you back on my team because I'm going to send a Savior who is going to crush your head. You'll strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. That's why Jesus is here. That's why he's distressed in our text. That's why he says, but I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is finished. The picture behind this is that Jesus is feeling clothed in, like there's only one direction for him to go, and that direction for him to go is to the cross, to suffer and die for the sins of the world, to bring back peace with God and the human race. That's why he is here. And that's why he talks about himself as undergoing a baptism of fire. Baptism is a word, a Greek word, which means washing. So you have this picture of, in the Old Testament, of how you got into the temple was through washing. And in the New Testament church, how do we commonly bring people into the church? What's their entrance? It's through washing. They're going to be washed in the waters of baptism, which links us to Jesus' death and resurrection. But Jesus talks about another type of washing that's going to be done to him, a washing of fire. And when we think of fire in the Bible generally, it's a picture of judgment. It's a connection of God bringing on the judgment that he has for the world and putting it on Jesus. This can only be done to Jesus. This baptism of fire can only be done through Jesus. He has to undergo the sufferings and the punishment for your sin and mine. We can't do anything to pay for our sin. We're stuck. We are enslaved. That's what the Bible says, right? Without Christ, we're stuck. I've been going through the Book of Concord in my podcast that I do with Pastor Harley and from St. John and Maribel, and we're going through the Book of Concord, and we're right now we're talking about confession and absolution and satisfaction. And so our Lutheran reformers, they were the church that they were engaging with, the Roman Catholic Church, was saying, when you confess your sins, yes, great, and we forgive your sins, but there's this other thing you have to do, this satisfaction that you have to do that demonstrates whether you are truly repentant or not. And the Lutheran reformers said, well, hold on a second. You confess your sins. You are forgiven. Why? Because of Jesus. You don't demonstrate to God that you are truly repentant. You don't have to do it. God isn't going to say, well, you have to do this first before I save you. Either salvation is completely the work of Jesus Christ, or it isn't. Or you aren't saved. As Jesus says in John chapter 3, whoever believes in him. So often, we don't think of our spiritual life in terms of I have to give this indulgence or this satisfaction for the sin that I've done, but so often aren't we inclined to say, God isn't going to help me or God isn't going to forgive me of my sins until I do A, B, or C, or X, Y, or Z? And we forget salvation is only from Jesus. He is the one who undergoes a baptism of fire, and he does it for you, so that you would have peace with God. He is the Prince of Peace, because he brought peace between you and God through his perfect life and his innocent death on the cross. And it brought fire on earth, not on you, but on him. And so, brothers and sisters, have confidence. Your Savior took on the fires of God's condemnation. God no longer is angry with you, but he forgives you for Jesus' sake. We have peace with God. We have peace with heaven. But that doesn't mean that our life is going to be easy. Peace with God brings about a fire of division on earth. As Jesus says, I have come to throw fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already ignited. Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth? No, but I tell you, but rather division. Yes, from now on there will be five divided in one household, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus himself is looking at like the smallest Jewish family unit. Like in our day, if we would say you have a family of five, that's pretty big in America, isn't it? You have more than two children. Maybe that's the average in America, two children, that's it. In the Jewish mind, that would be the smallest family unit, because then you would have a son that's married, and then you'd have a daughter that you can marry off to someone else. That's the smallest family unit. Jesus says that even that small family unit will be divided. I'm going to make a guess that all of us have people in our family trees that do not go to church. The spiritual but not religious types. The ones which we know we need to have a conversation with. And sometimes what keeps us from having those conversations is a fear that we will cause division. That we will upset the apple cart, so to speak. What I like about what Jesus has to say is that the apple cart's already spilled over. There already is division. Jesus has said, take, eat, take, drink. Whenever you eat and whenever you drink, take these things. Do not give up meeting together. And the writer to the Hebrews says, as Jesus speaks to the writer of the Hebrews, tells us to get together to encourage one another. And we have members in our family tree that are not doing that. And therefore, there is division. Sometimes peace in one area leads to lack of peace in another. Say if you're living in the city and you have a tree in your backyard and you want to plant a garden in that backyard, but you know that that tree also provides shade for your neighbor. Your neighbor likes that tree. But your wife, your spouse, wants a garden. Peace in one area is going to lead to lack of peace in others. If you cut that tree down and plant the garden, you're going to have lack of peace with your neighbor. But if you leave that tree up and have peace with your neighbor, you are going to have division in your own household. That's what Jesus is talking to us about. Those are the hard words. That's the scalpel that Jesus is using to cut our hearts, to remind us there already is division. Who do you want to have peace with? Your relative or God? We want to avoid conflict oftentimes, and oftentimes we are more than happy to have conflict with our God rather than division with our family member. There will be division. There is division. The cool part is that Jesus takes all responsibility. He's not saying, well, if you, you know, if it's your fault that your friend or your neighbor is no longer in church, Jesus says, this is mine. I have created this because my word is like fire. My word is like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. My word says things very plainly only through me. Only through the word. Only through faith in Jesus as our one and only Savior and our complete Savior from sin are we at peace with God. And each one of us has a sinful nature that thinks that it can get its own way to God. And our friends and our family members who aren't in church also have that same sinful nature that you do, that think that they're going to get to God a different way than through Jesus and His Word. The comfort that I have in here is not just that Jesus takes responsibility for that division, but also that Jesus doesn't tell us how long the division lasts. He just says it's there. He doesn't say it's going to be there forever, or that there's no hope, that there's no opportunity, there's no possibility that that could be, that wound could be healed. He just says it's there. The one who inflicts with that scalpel and divides the heart, the one who divides humanity into those two teams, is the only one that can bring them together. through His Word. It starts with Him. And He uses you and I to speak His words of life. And the one who encourages us to speak those words is not a one who's going to leave us alone. We are not divided from Him. We have peace with Him. He is on our side and stands behind us. We don't like that the world is polarized and divisive. And in one respect, it will never, ever be healed. In 200 AD, there was some graffiti found in Rome of a man who, it's got his Latin inscription on the bottom of it. He says, Alexamenus worships his God. And on that picture, that graffiti, you have a picture of like a, almost like a stick figure of a Roman soldier giving his allegiance to his God who is being crucified on a tree. Except the God that's in that picture, the man that's being crucified on the tree, has a donkey head on its top. So you can put two and two together what's going on there. What this graffiti artist thinks of Alexamenus' God. We don't like division. But it will always be there. Because our Lord has said, this is it. There's only one way to heaven, and it is through me. But through Jesus, we have peace with God. We have peace with heaven. It is ours because God brought fire on earth, not on us, but on Jesus, for our sake. And because of that, yeah, there'll be fires of division on this earth. But that should not deter us or keep us from speaking. Because we have peace, the good kind, with Jesus. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which is beyond all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.